Good morning. Thanks a lot for joining. A lot of people are here, so it seems we have a lot of users of ETC. I think everybody touched a configuration file in ETC already. My name is not Thorsten Kuckuck, and I'm not a distinguished engineer. I'm Ignaz Forster. I'm also working for SUSE in the same department. Thorsten is sick today, so I'll try to have his presentation. So, ETC. Why do we think, or why are we having this talk at all? First of all, we, as OpenSUSE, as a RPM-based distribution, has RPM files which declare configuration files as a special configuration file. We have the same mechanism in other distributions, in Debian-based distributions, and I guess every distribution will mark configuration files as special. So what does that mean? If we want to declare a configuration file and we update the system, we'll get a conflict if the administrator also decided to update that system. So the question is, what should be done? Depending on what the package maintainer decided to do, we'll either get an RPM save file. In that case, the modified file will be moved away and the configuration file distributed with the package will be put in place. Or it can be the other way around. The new configuration file will be moved onto the site with an extension .rpm new, and the configuration file modified by the administrator will stay in place. In both cases, we have a conflict because you can't be sure what actually changed in the configuration file, and the administrator has to actually touch that and check for the differences. So it has been that way for a lot of years, so that may lead to the assumption that everything's perfectly fine there. But as I said, it may not be ideal because the administrator has to do some manual search for those files on every update, and he has to check for the differences and merge all those changes manually in there. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry, that's a very text-heavy presentation. I hope we can get into some discussion and may use that as a reference. If those configuration file changes actually contained a security update, we now have two cases. Either the security update won't be applied because the administrator modified file will just stay in place and the security configuration option just won't get updated, or the administrator will just lose his configuration completely without even asking. And that's not ideal, we think. The talk is also referencing atomic updates. So what is an atomic update? An atomic update, we have some atomic distributions. We have the most famous one, probably CoreOS. On the OpenSUSE side, we have MicroOS and Cubic. On the Fedora side, we have Fedora CoreOS now, or the Atomic Host. On the Ubuntu side, we have Ubuntu Core, I think. All of those distributions are designed to be automated in some kind of way. So what does that mean? That means that an update has to be atomic in a sense that it is either fully applied or not applied at all, which usually means you have a read-only root file system and then you'll just update the system and reboot into the new system. That's the atomic part. I'll be having a talk about that later today at 1450 if you're interested. But the essential part is it's meant to be automated. And the second part, which we'll just talk about now, is we have to wait until a reboot, until that configuration is actually applied. So that makes everything worse than it already may be, depending on your point of view. Because if the update was applied somewhere in the background, then that configuration file, which an update may have done, is not visible. In the meantime, the administrator or your configuration management software or whatever may change the configuration files within the running system. So if you reboot, then that's the question, which configuration file should be applied. The various distributions have taken various ways to solve that. But the point is, we do run into problems in any case. We have to resolve that situation somehow. And the question is, how should we do that? I already told you there are a lot of distributions, or most major distributions also provide such an atomic update mechanism. But each distribution is doing its own thing, basically. So if anybody is approaching an upstream project and says, oh, we want to change something, could you please modify whatever we need? Then probably the answer is, does it work for all distributions? And the answer is no. So there's basically no interest in doing distribution-specific patches, usually at least. So basically, it's all left to the user again. The user has to just check for conflicting files again, do all the manual work, and that completely destroys all the intended automation which was supposed to be done. So, what will I be proposing today? By the way, that's open for discussion. You can always interrupt me, and if you have better ideas or want to suggest something. We would need a mechanism which would separate the configuration done by the package or the upstream project and the configuration specifically or intentionally done by the administrator. In that case, it says two directories, etc, and something below user. Why below user? Because that's obviously not meant to be touched by the administrator, at least that's what the FHS says. And etc, because yeah, that's where the configuration files are nowadays going anyway. We'd need some guidance for new developers to get things right, and also for the distributions, of course. And the goal would be to migrate existing packages to use that configuration mechanism, which would be splitting up those configuration files, one package at a time. So of course it would be obvious to start with the atomic, with the packages included in the atomic host, and then extend it to the complete distribution. Leonard Pöttering wrote a blog post several years ago about a stateless system, and that's basically what that's trying to do. So you can just delete etc and you still have a working system which will just use the default settings. I'm not sure if is Leonard here, I don't think so. Ah, yes, if that's still a current thing you're thinking about. But yeah, that's basically what that could be reachable by that, if everything's working as intended. So, in the end, the administrator should just be notified if something got updated. It should be visible what the administrator was actually changing, and it would be ideal if those changes would just be applied automatically. So, proposals. What are we suggesting? I should note, we've already discussed several things within the OpenSUSE community, and we are trying to get into more, to reach out to other communities now. I think that's a perfect opportunity here. In the end, we have systemd already, which is doing exactly that. Systemd will provide its default configuration files in userlibsystemd system, or userlibsystemd somewhere, and then it's possible to override either complete files by placing a file of the same name in etc or run, but I'll ignore run for now. And you can also override just snippets of a configuration file by appending .d, by creating a directory with the suffix .d. So in that case, we have etc application.conf, or we could also just put a file in etc application.conf.d / something.conf, and we could just override whatever we want there. So in the end, it's a lot of, it depends a lot on the application what actually needs to be done, or if a an application is able to support such a mechanism at all. For example, the drop-in part may not be trivial. If you think of Apache, that's a configuration file which is really complex, and just merging parts of it will probably simply not work. But what would be possible in almost all applications is to use two directories to actually read the configuration. And if we have a look around on the system, we noticed that a lot of applications, also basic system applications, support such a mechanism already, but at least on OpenSUSE, it's simply not used. If you have a look at PAM, PAM already is reading from userlib PAMD and etc PAMD. We have sysctl, which is even supporting drop-in files. LD config is also using several directories, also with drop-in files or with extension files. And there are dozens of others which will just read configurations from multiple files, usually with that.d syntax. We have a few special cases. For example, if you think about etc RPC or etc services or etc protocols, the question is that a configuration file at all? Because mainly it's a static database which will not be touched but only extended. In that case, it should be trivial to also support that, to just add additional files into additional directories. Did I forget something? No, not really. There's one special case which we don't know how to handle yet in a good way, and that's the whole user and password logic, especially etc passvd, etc group, and etc shadow. The problem is, how do you want to actually split that up? Because if you do, like it's just suggested here, put all these system accounts in user, lib, whatever, you have the problem that you just blocked the administrator to not be able to touch those or remove those accounts anymore. And you still have one file which would contain all the passwords, so there's no real separation which could be done reliably. One of those problems, by the way, is that if you would split it up into several files, NSS compat, in case anybody is using it, but I think customers will actually do, wouldn't work with that approach. The second suggestion, or the second idea we had, was to just do it as we suggested, use .d directories to allow applications to each define their own user and just put it in the .d directory, for example, etc passvd, passvd.d, sorry, and etc group.d and etc shadow.d. But that's really incompatible with everything and would need a lot of work to actually get it done. I don't think that will be a realistic goal to actually change that. So if anybody has any idea how to solve that user, Do you have a microphone?
Like at least for exposing new users dynamically, you could use NSS, but that doesn't solve how to do the password stuff. That needs some stuff in PAM.
Exactly, yeah.
So you could have your own custom module that reads from other locations and adds groups and users from there, or however you manage users.
Yeah, then just the password file would be still shared among all files. Yeah, that would be an option. So about the whole bike shedding part now, where to actually store such a file. We were discussing a lot of, Yeah, that will be the next slide. What should such a location look like? We don't want to have a binary file which is not searchable, I guess. So it has to still be grabbable to actually find the values. That's what we just assumed. And it shouldn't be spread around the complete file system. Ideally, it wouldn't conflict with the FHS. And it should be obvious for administrators what that directory is actually doing, because in the end, all the administrators have to work with it and accept that. And yeah, for the package configuration part, it should be obvious that the administrator really shouldn't touch that. So we had a look at various other distributions and tried to come up with several paths. And we discovered that we have a lot of paths already in place. If we have a look at Clear Linux and some existing packages which are part of distributions already, you'll see that those are using user share defaults and then something. If we have a look at CoreOS, or the old CoreOS, I should mention, the container Linux part, then we have user share and something. On Ubuntu Core, we have writable something. On our own distribution, we are using user etc something, and it's also used by the new Fedora CoreOS thing, but for a slightly different purpose. One obvious suggestion would be user sysconfig, but the problem is sysconfig is already taken the name, basically. And we have several tools which are using user share misc already. Thorsten said it's not compatible with the FHS, so I guess that's correct. So we all suggested all those directories to the OpenSUSE community as a first step, and all of them were rejected. But almost everyone agreed that user etc, it's in the heading. Yeah, it is. User etc would be an excellent idea, because that's what is short. It is below user, so it's obvious it shouldn't be touched. And yeah, it sounds easy, and it was suggested quite independently. We didn't suggest user etc, by the way, even though it's mentioned on the previous slide. Exactly, user etc would just be a duplicate of etc, but contain basically what's currently installed by packages by default, and etc itself would be empty, ideally. And that's what we are currently trying to implement. We just started implementing it. And now the question to the general public audience is that something which should be proposed also for other distributions? Is that something you can live with? I see some people nodding. Nobody? Yeah?
You go one slide back, so you take the microphone. The question was, if you go, or the comment was, if you go one slide back, it's already in use by something else.
Exactly, it's already in use by CoreOS, by Fedora CoreOS. Leonard is approaching, so I think he may have something to say.
Just to mention this, in systemd temp files, if you don't specify a source where you copy from, right, we default to user share factory, which is what we thought should be the right path, actually. So you didn't even list it there.
Okay, let me add that.
And actually, systemd upstream ships some basic files there so that even the crappiest distribution can still boot up with that. So this is what we thought should be the right one. Like the idea is that either you symlink or you copy from there to Etsy. But it's not the place where applications should just directly open.
So we have user share factory now. yeah. So that's basically the temp files template directory.
Yeah, it's about templating. Yeah, it's about like copying the, from there to Etsy if it's not there, or symlinking from Etsy, from there to Etsy if it's not there. It's what we thought would make the most sense and documented as part of that.
Okay, cool. Another thing to consider.
Additionally, what we currently are doing is, as NixOS is not installing stuff as specified in the FHS, but every package is installed in its own prefix. So we kind of do your user etc, but for each package we have its own prefix, so it would be kind of nice if that were a relative directory to its installation directory of each package. So we have, for example, /nix/store/hash, I don't know, cups, and then below that we have bin cups, and we have etc default configuration files, which we don't necessarily use, but we build our own configuration file. But kind of having this relative directory to some etc default being used would be nice.
Which distribution is that? That sounds like Ubuntu, but...
NixOS.
NixOS, okay. Okay, so, yeah, we have, as I said, we have several completely different approaches to that already. And, yeah, the question is, how can we get some common criteria? I mean, in the end, it's not that important, because if we get the applications to support such a mechanism, then we have the ability to just change the second path via a configuration option when compiling the application. So if we couldn't agree on one path, we could just say at least we get the applications to support that, and everybody is able to use a custom path. I think it's not ideal, because every distribution will have a different mechanism to actually configure things, and it won't make it easier for an administrator. So yeah, the question is, where can we find an agreement? You have another opinion?
Well, more of a question, really, and do correct me if I'm wrong. But how much of the problems go away if you use portable systems, given that then everything is wrapped up in its own thing? So both the user story, because a couple of slides back you already mentioned, like, we could use systemd users, but that doesn't work because users are only present on reboot. And
I think no problem is going away, because also on portable systems, you still want to have an administrator adjustable or user adjustable configuration file somewhere. So if you're packaging that as a portable app, where are you actually storing the user configuration file?
So let me answer that. In portable services, the idea was always that you mount some specific directory from Etsy into the portable service so that both the system and the host see that if you want to make the configuration like this. But what I don't really get, like changing back to that, what I don't really get is like it was always our intention that sooner or later applications would need the second configuration directory, but would just run with defaults if they find their configuration files missing in Etsy. Right? Why do you need the directory? Like for us, user share factory was just the fallback if it wasn't easy to patch the software. Like for example, Glipsy is very hard to patch because the upstreams used to be quite complicated. So it wasn't easy for us to I don't know, teach Glipsy that it would read like or not read anything but default to defaults from slash user. But we always thought that it should be up to the applications individually to put that somewhere in user share, user lib, or wherever they want it. Why have a common directory there if it's not just for the stopgap to support the few components that still don't default to built-ins?
Because we have a lot of applications which depend on files in etc.
Sure, but I mean, you asked that you wanted to agree on some directory here so that the various applications can be changed to go there instead of Etsy. But my assumption was always they should just either have built-ins that they use if the files in Etsy don't exist, or they should read whatever they want from user share, user lib, if they have a private directory there.
I mean, we have two problems here. First of all, if the application is only using its internal defaults, in my opinion, that's not so great because you can't see what the administrator can adjust. If you have a basic etc configuration file which will just list all the things you can adjust, then it will make it easy for an administrator to just change the corresponding values. I mean, yeah, we do have man pages listing all those options. But yeah, just I mean, what you're suggesting is getting rid of user etc or whatever completely and just using etc with all those remaining artifacts the administrator wants to have changed from the default. Yeah, but then...
I mean, for me, this appears to be a documentation issue, right? Like, and then the question is, if you have user Etsy around as documentation, I'm pretty sure that if you build immutable images and deploy them in the wild, they probably shouldn't come with documentation, so they shouldn't be there, right? Like, you see what I mean?
If that's correct, but if we change that, we'll also change existing systems, which are basically those pet
anyway.
Servers.
Well, you're changing them anyway because they don't know user Etsy, right? It's a new thing.
It's a new thing, which also has consequences for existing systems, at least on OpenSUSE. We don't distinguish between regular old-fashioned systems and container hosts. Both of them are built on the same core. I know it's a bit different from Atomic Host, but basically we are using the same base.
I just want to respin what Leonard mm-hmm. was saying. I think you are conflating a bunch of stuff in that list. I can speak at least for Container Linux Core OS. The thing is, the last one that you have in there are defaults that are kind of like application specific, so the application knows about that. That's the systemd style. Then what you have in user etc for Atomic is not the same thing. It's the result of a three-way merge, and that one is kind of like version as well. What you have in the second line in Container Linux, it's another different thing, which is some applications don't know about that, but the first time that you boot the machine, we are copying those files in another place in etc. And then there is another category of application that are like, they can use defaults that are symlinked directly to user. So it's kind of like there are at least four different categories into this list. And I do agree with that, what Leonard was saying, which is I prefer to have etc as user customization, which is something completely different from like user distribution defaults. And the fact that right now there are some distributions like Atomic or Fedora Core OS that are doing this three-way merge in order to version etc is kind of like a stopgap solution from my point of view. Like it works mostly, but it's not the same thing as the other stuff that you are listing. So I think that like we are speaking past each other because you are putting all of these into the same category.
The question is which directory we wanted to use. We know that use etc is for the three-way merges in Atomic in Fedora Core is sorry, all the name changes. And that's why we hesitated to use that as the default directory for OpenSUSE in that case now. But that doesn't mean that it's supposed to be the same thing. We just recognized the name clash, and it's used for similar things, mainly which is somehow getting a configuration file merge. Do we have? Yeah.
So, first comment about the problem with sys users and the users being created after a reboot. So, this is essentially a solved problem in Mandriva. They split out the sys users configuration to a separate package and have a transfiles trigger to create the users when the package is installed. So that when the package that actually has files owned by those users is installed next, the users are already there. So it's not really a blocker. And as for the general thing, there are two things. One is moving stuff out of etc, and I think that we all agree that this is a good thing and we want to do that. And the other thing is where the details of the naming, which is something that we clearly disagree on, but it's not really that important. I mean, as long as you push people to move stuff out of etc one by one, this is, for me, the most important part, and we will all benefit from it.
Thanks a lot for the summary. That's what I also wanted to say. I think we all agree that something should be done about the etc situation.
Okay.
Not a lot of people are nodding. Just a second.
We'll let the presentation continue as well, and then we still have more time for questions and comments. Don't worry.
Okay. So just the last slide I wanted to show. We do have a temporary wiki page on the OpenSUSE wiki for packaging for user etc, but the most important link is the second link, which is Thorsten's original proposal with all the motivations, and I'd suggest to use that repository for further discussion, as we didn't come to an agreement now. We can just discuss during the conference.
Indeed. When, we can also set up a Birds of a Feather or a BOF session for anyone who's interested.
Yeah, the problem is I'll not be here on Sunday, so you'd have to discuss without me. If that's not a problem. But the last link is a link to a project called libeconf. If applications want to use the new mechanism, then they, if they are a C or C++ application, they can just use the libeconf to read configuration files with one library call, which will then just read all the corresponding places. It's, let's say, alpha software, but we are working on that to make that transition easier. So I have 5 minutes left. That's my presentation. I don't think we have questions. We have a discussion. Yeah.
So thanks for the presentation. I do agree completely with the problem statement. What I'm asking myself a bit is if files really cut it anymore, or if we need some kind of different storage for configuration files. First of all, when we are merging things together, we have different formats. Some configuration files might be, for instance, in XML, which is not so easy to merge just by appending files together, for instance. I think CAPS solved this problem by not having a root element in CAPS printer files and so on, but there might be other programs with that problem. Another issue is that we still want to kind of have a notification for the administrator of the system whenever there is a change needed that needs to be propagated from USRATC, I don't care much about the naming, what we choose, factory or whatever, to a custom change he made in his own ETC. And it looks like this kind of problem has been tackled before. Like I'm thinking about dconf, for instance, which also has a binary format for configuration files. Or even I'm going to name the devil, I mean, the Windows registry. So what do you think about, do files still cut it for our current needs?
In my opinion, yes, because it's a really simple format, which is quite obvious to search for. If you're thinking about the Windows registry, that's, in my opinion, a really bad example of how to do it, because it's almost not searchable in an efficient way. And yeah, you simply don't find anything in there. Now, with different configuration files, you have one directory or one file, usually at least, per application. So if you're looking for your application, you can just search the default directories in etc, and you'll find all the configuration files belonging to that. A registry would have one advantage, namely being that you get a standard for all the applications. It would force applications to obey to those rules of that format. But again, a lot of Linux applications, especially ported to Windows, will still keep reading their own configuration files because it's simply not possible to squeeze everything into that format. So we won't get rid of files in etc anyway, in my opinion. You have to have some way of configuring it, of having extended configuration formats. Does that answer the question? So yeah, I think configuration files are easy to understand and to edit. Yeah, that's why I think they should be preferred compared to a binary-only format, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, something else I'll point out, that config files make it a lot easier to deal with config management. So if you run something like Puppet or Chef or Ansible or whatever, and you need to write out configs, you can use templates, you can templatize the configs. It's very evident what's happening. You can see diffs of what's happening. If you're doing this in other environments where you don't have this possibility, you end up having to deal with amorphous concepts that mutate the system. And while the end result is roughly the same in terms of like what you can do with it, I think we can all agree that it's definitely harder to understand in a lot of cases, and it's harder to understand how to get from here to there.
I think we still have 1 minute.
Last question or comment?
I mean, I'm just responding to that too, because nobody else is asking a question. The problem is also with things like gconf and dconf, they have semantical problems because they store every bit of information separately. And Evolution, for example, you know, this email program from the GNOME people, then famously ended up sticking XML configuration into one key because they wanted to have atomic updates. And you just think, okay, then yeah, you have to give up. So all these things like registry and these things ended up having semantics that are not compatible with how most people who understand and have non-trivial programs actually want to do stuff, because they want more atomicity and be able to change the whole configuration at once. And yeah, files are crap, but they kind of allow you to deliver this in some way or another. So yeah, it's a complicated issue, and I don't think any, I mean, there have been attempts to unify on something like Electra or something. There was a project like this, all failed, and dconf is certainly the most successful one because it has most of GNOME behind it, but I see no way in the world that's a political thing where the semantics are not strictly better. I would not want to fight that fight.
All right, thank you. We've actually run out of time. Thank you, Thorsten.